Vayeshev. And we can't help but asking, what in the world is going on? You have a situation, you have the Achei Yosef, whom the Torah describes as the Shiftei Ka, the tribes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they seem almost intent on committing cold-blooded murder of an innocent person. Yosef comes to check out on their father's wishes how they're doing. And just kill him and throw him into a pit. These are the Shiftei Ka. Just going ahead and killing Yosef. So Reuven comes to the rescue. How does he rescue him? No, let's not kill him in cold blood. Let's throw him into a pit alive. Now the Torah does come along and say that Reuven planned on saving him, but he doesn't tell that to the brothers. So they figure we'll leave him in the pit and he'll die of starvation, thirst, hunger, whatever it is. And then in the end, they said, says Yehuda, why should we kill him? Let's just sell him as a slave and get rid of him. And fine, inshallah, my Yisrael. What in the world is going on? These are the Shiftei Ka. Reuven and Shimon and Levi and Yehuda and Yisachar, everybody. What's going on? But take a look at Yosef for a minute. Yosef is Yosef HaTzadik, but his tzidko seems to be somewhat hidden at the beginning of the parsha. Torah tells us that he's with the brothers. V'narad b'nei vila v'et b'nei zilpa n'sheyavi v'yavi Yosef as dibas amra alaviyem. Seems to be a baal lashon hara. Didn't have a seder in Shmiras HaLashon and Sefer Chavetz Chaim. He's telling Lashon Hara to his father about the brothers. And then he has dreams. And he tells his brothers. He said, listen, I had this great dream. What's a dream? You see, all of your bundles are bowing down to my bundle. Thank you very much. And the brothers respond, Amaloch Temloch Aleinu. And he has another dream. And he tells it to them again, and they don't want to hear the dreams. This time it's even better. Now your bundles are bowing down to my bundles, but the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars are bowing down to me. Well, look at me. This is Yosef HaTzadik. Every year we read the Parsha Vayeshev, and you say, we don't understand what's going on. So let's try to give a little bit of an approach. Yosef is going to see his brothers. They see him off in the distance. Before he gets close to them, the simple understanding is they conspired against him to kill him. But Rav Hirsch points out that if we were to be careful in our diktuk, it wouldn't be vayitnaklu oto lahamito, it would be vayitnaklu bo lahamito. They conspired against him. Almost seems to say that they made him into a conspirator. What does it mean they made him into a conspirator? It says the Abba Benel that the brothers were not jealous of Yosef so much as they were terrified of him. They were very worried about what Yosef would do. Abraham had children, not only Yishmael, but other children, but only one took over. Yitzchak has two children, but only one takes over. Yaakov has 12 sons. But maybe Yosef wants to continue the pattern. Maybe only one will take over. He set himself to be the Yoresh, the heir apparent, the only heir apparent of their father. After all, take a look at what's going on. Every time we do something that he doesn't like, he goes and he tells Papa. Did you hear what they did? Did you hear what they did? Did you hear what they did here? And they did there. He comes along and says, everybody's bundle is banged down to his bundle, and then everybody's banged down to him. It's not so much he's the first amongst the equals. He's the only one on top, and everybody is like a pilagash. Avram also had been a pilagship. And off they went. And they were fearful that Yosef's plan was to cut them off from what in the future would be called Bnei Yisrael. And that literally is pikuach nefesh. Their souls were endangered. What would it be of them? They would just be like Bnei Keturah, they'll be like Shmuel, they'll be like Esav. In their minds, Yosef was a rodef. Yosef was conspiring against them. And it's either him or us. Chazal tell us, he's out to try to kill him, not physically, but spiritually, cut them off from Bnei Yisrael. And therefore they have no choice. To save their souls, they have to kill Yosef. There's only one problem. They misread the situation. See, Yosef did keep going back to Papa and telling him all the things that the brothers were doing wrong. But Yosef was a little bit too much of a tzaddik. And because Yosef was a tzaddik, he sort of felt like his brother should also be tzaddik. They should also act not 80% okay, 90% okay, not 95%, but every little thing. He wasn't telling his father because his father would chase them away. He was telling his father. His father would give them Musa and they'll improve their ways. And the dreams. He wasn't boasting. But he thought that the dreams were like a nevuah. And the Navi is not allowed to quash his Nevuah. He's not allowed to not tell it. He's required to tell his Nevuah. So he says, I have no choice. Hashem gave you Nevuah, I have to tell my brothers. But he wasn't conspiring against them. But he didn't understand how his actions were angering and upsetting everybody else. In reality, who was wrong, who was evil? Nobody was evil. The truth is that Yosef was doing, from a certain perspective, the right thing. And the brothers were okay. But they couldn't see what was going on the other side. Vayirato merachok, the brothers saw Yosef off in a distance. They didn't get to know him close enough. And the brothers knew that they were right. But what they couldn't understand was that even though they're right, Yosef is also right. And Yosef was right. But he couldn't understand that if he's right, the brothers doesn't make the brothers bad. It's very easy in an argument to say that I'm right and the other side is wrong. Sometimes we're even willing to admit that I'm wrong and the other side is right. But what's very hard to do is to say I'm right and the other side is also right. And that was very hard. And because each side couldn't see that the other side may also be right, we ended up in Mitzrayim for too long of a period of time. The story of Vayeshev comes along and tells us that even if you're right, it doesn't mean that somebody who has different ideas is necessarily wrong. The Shvatim were not clones of each other. And one Shevet could be right, and a Shevet that's different could also be right. My rightness doesn't exclude somebody else's rightness. And that's a lesson that Am Yisrael has had to have learned, and sometimes learned right, and sometimes hasn't learned so well, over thousands of years. To realize that sometimes brothers could have different ideas and still be right, even though I'm also right. And that maybe is the message, or one of the messages of Parshas Vayeshev. We can disagree, we can have different opinions, and I don't have to be wrong. I could be right. But that doesn't mean that you're wrong. You could also be right. And I can end the Dvar Torah over here, but Chanukah is coming up. Motzei Shabbos is the first night of Chanukah. And there we learn almost the opposite lesson. Because whereas in the story of Vayeshev, the brothers were quarreling with each other, and because of that we ended up in Mitzrayim. In the story of Chanukah, the brothers, or Am Yisrael, were fighting with each other. And because we rose up to fight, we were zochet to the nes of Chanukah. In the story of Chanukah, there really was a right and a wrong. The followers of Matityahu and the Chashmonaim stood up and fought against the Mityavnim, the Hellenists. And they didn't say, we're right, but you're also right. They said, we're right and you're wrong. And we'll fight you on it. And as the Ramban said, it's because of the Chashmonaim the Torah wasn't forgotten from Am Yisrael. If not for them, then Chas V'Sholem, who knows what might have happened. Because they realized that the Midyavnim had an agenda that just simply wasn't acceptable. So slowly but surely, and maybe not so slowly, just erase Torah and adopt the Hellenist ideology. So the message of Chanukah is almost the opposite message of Vayeshev. That sometimes you have to say, we're right and the other side is wrong, and we're going to stand up for what's right, and if need be, we're going to fight for what's right. So we have two messages. You have a message that the brothers, one side could be right, and somebody who thinks differently could also be right. We have a message that sometimes we're right, and they really are wrong. We need to fight. So how do you know? The answer is simple and not so simple. When you give out a cry of Mi Lashem Elai, when you're really striving for the same idea of Avodas Hashem, and we have different paths, but the goals are really sincere, then maybe I'm right and you're right. But one side is for Hashem and the other side is for something else, then I'm right and you're wrong. So the difference is simple, but not so simple, as I said. Because it's not so easy always to know when somebody means L'Shem Shamayim and somebody doesn't. Very often people claim that they mean L'Shem Shemayim, and sometimes they really are. Sometimes they're not. And our challenge is always to try to distinguish between those who are different, a different approach, a different ideology, but just as equally acceptable, and those whose approach and ideology is beyond the pale, is beyond acceptability. We have Vayeshev, and we have Chanukah. And we need, as we say Havdalah, Motzei Shabbos, from the end of Vayeshev, when we begin Chanukah, we need to be able to be mavdil between the two. Between the case when I'm right, but they're also right, and between the case where we are La Hashem, and they are not.